Good morning. Thank you to the worship team. That was sweet to spend some time. I think it's like we're getting ready for camp already. I think on a long weekend when the sun is shining, the people who come to church want to be here. That's always a good thing. And there's a sense of His presence in that. So Pete has talked about earlier, we've been going through this encounter with Jesus, walking with a resurrected Jesus, however you want to put it. Thank you. We've had a few interesting discussions in the last while, and even this morning, the songs that were being sung, and just the encouragement, you know, His name's above every other name. He's the greatest. He's the King. Hallelujah. We are past the crucifixion in the story. These are encounters with the resurrected Jesus. Amen? Brian and I were talking the other day, or he talks more than me, but he was saying, you know, they travel around a lot of churches, and we used to do it as well. I can only say the last 15 years, I've traveled some, but a lot of our time's been here. But the challenge has been the change in the message here in Canada or in the church just in general, to kind of soften it down and so on, and you're okay, and I'm okay, and we're all okay, and we're not. And even in light of what PJ was saying, the sense that he felt of resistance, I just want to encourage you, Pete, push through those things. We felt like we touched on it as we started to worship, and as we was praying with people, I realized, you know, our hearts are hard. The thing about at the time when God's speaking to us, it's if we're not softening our hearts to the Word and to what is happening, our hearts are actually being hardened. And the Bible says, harden not your hearts. Like, you have a choice in those moments. Am I going to soften my heart? Am I going to, and you know, I'm thinking, I'm preaching today, I'm pretty good, but I want, and then I pray with people whose hearts are soft, and I'm like, oh Lord, soften my heart. And you put all those together. You know, the reason I mentioned, Brian, I forgot even why I mentioned your name, your powerful statements, but, you know, we sing that song, I ran out of the grave. You know, we are out of the grave. Yeah. Some people need to sing that. They need to come out of that grave. I know there's unsaved. I know there's broken. I know, and we all carry scars, but we are out of the grave. This is past the resurrection. This is encountering with Jesus time. This is the time for every believer to hear the Lord and hear His voice and hear what He's saying to them and moving and obeying that. And I hope I offend somebody today. Don't harden your heart. You sit in church for 40 years, nothing touches your heart, then get a new heart. Do something. The picture I keep having is I need to take my heart, I need to put it out on this altar, and I need to beat the beast. Because our hearts are hard. And you can just sit in a service and sit in a service and sit in a service and sit in a service. Won't worship, won't lift a hand, won't move, won't, I don't know. You can say, well, it's my nature, but get a new nature. Let God speak something into your life. And sometimes it takes the third or the fourth song. It takes Toby and Tommy getting anointed and calling us out to, okay, yes, He's the Lord. There is no one greater than Him. But I'm sad to say, and this is where I hope I offend, too many can just sit through it. And it just goes over their heads. And it's not my style. It's not my way. It's not. God help His church. Amen? Can you say amen? At least do that. Some of you are sitting there way in the back. No, doesn't matter where you sit. It's a hard thing. You can sit right in this front row. It's a hard thing. Lord, help me take this heart. And so this morning we're talking about Sent with a Mission. We've been talking about these encounters with Jesus along the way. And this is, he told His disciples, Mary, those guys, when they met, they said, go to a mountain in Galilee. So this, what I'm reading, is on a mountain in Galilee. There's times where He met with Him on the Mount of Olives and promised the coming of the Holy Spirit when you get into Acts and the great commissions, the sending out. But in Matthew, they're on a mountain, and He gives them these words. And we'll read it in a minute. Yeah, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. That's a lot of authority. Therefore, go. You know the saying, when it says therefore, you should ask what it's there for. Therefore, why? Because he's got all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you, and surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. Hallelujah. This is Jesus' last will and testament. This is us being sent with a mission. This is us out of the grave. This is us getting ready to go. As we've been saying, we're working up to the Pentecost, and camp is just happens to be Pentecost. And we've come from Easter, and we're walking through the story of encounters with Jesus. And this one, they say if it's the last words of somebody, I've shared some of my last words with my father and my mother just before they passed away. Those words matter. Those words hit. And I've shared with what my father said. I've shared what my mother said. I could share more. But you have your own stories. If you sat with a loved one, spent time with your mother, with your father, as they've passed away, you hear that heartbeat. And it's amazing to kiss your mom's forehead and it's already cooling down. Like, if you've had those experiences, those words stick. Now, this is Jesus talking to his disciples, and that, I don't have time to read it, but if you read in Mark and in Matthew, I do have time, but I'm not going to. Sorry, Tanner. Tanner has given me a hard time. Just read the Bible. It means more than what you're saying, but I like what I'm saying. So you go read the Bible. But every time he says, but some didn't believe. The Mary comes and some didn't believe. And then Jesus shows up in the room and some don't believe. And it's like, who are these guys that don't believe this stuff? They're meeting with Jesus right there, but we are exactly the same. We hear this stuff and just it's the hardness of our hearts. And so this morning, I want us to end with that song that you guys were singing, He's Worthy of All Praise. That is the anthem this morning, and it goes with this whole message of being sent. And we have to hear that. And so, let's go. Number one, he says we're sent with authority. Put that slide up there. That part, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. There's a two-sided coin to that authority. All authority, so he sends us with his authority, not in our authority. I love that picture. We go out with power. We have authority to do the things we're doing. But the other side of it is, he's the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. What he requires is more important than anything else. He has last, or first and last, and every right into our life. And we've preached it a million times. If you're a Christian, if you're a disciple of Jesus, he has the authority any moment he wants to just reach into your life and take whatever he wants and use whatever he wants. My friend George used to say, Lord, please use me. And then, but Lord, I'm feeling so used. It's like he has that right to use our lives. But the beautiful thing about serving the Lord is when he uses us, he blesses us. He gives joy in it, even in the mourning of it, even in the work of it. There's a sense that you're walking with God. And when you have that sense that God's with me, man, nothing can stop you. I want to read a couple of verses. So all authority is his. He doesn't send us in our own strength. His authority is final and unmatched, heaven and earth. That should give us some confidence. He is Lord. He chooses how he uses us. And at our conference last couple of weeks ago, they're talking about being anchored in his calling, anchored in his word, anchored in his presence, and we'll get there. But this, if I would add to what the theme of that whole weekend was, we should be anchored in his authority. That's our motive for going, but it's also the strength that we go in, both. And so we need to submit to him, and we need to be able to say, yes, Lord, to your will and to your way. And that means in everything. He cannot be Lord if he's not Lord of everything. You know, we sing. I'm sorry I'm trampling here, but, you know, my good friend Grant used to say, Christians only lie when we sing. I give you everything. Well, not quite, because, you know, I got to get out of here by 11:30. I got some stuff to do. It's a long weekend, don't you know? But there's just something about when we surrender this old heart and soul to Jesus, even if it's just for a moment at an altar, or even if it's just singing, or just worshiping, or in our finance, and we submit, or in our minds, we just commit. When the old devil tries to come in, we call on that strength and that authority that Jesus gives us. But there's this power in it, and there's victory in it, and joy in it when you say yes to Jesus. Amen? Amen. And so, get out of the grave. Throw those grave clothes off, as Jeff prayed this morning. We help one another to take the grave clothes off when someone's come out of the grave. And we encourage each other, and we pray for each other, and we strengthen one another. But then we say, okay, God's given us authority now over sin, death, hell, and the grave. And I was trying to get to these verses. It says this in Colossians 2:14. What kind of authority are we talking about? It says in 2:14, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross. He disarmed the rulers and authorities and put them to open shame by triumphing over them in him, in Jesus. Now that's some authority. He's conquered death, hell, and the grave. And when we are in him, when we are in his body, part of him, he is Lord of our life. We walk in that authority with him. We don't have to be cripples all our life. We don't have to keep, you know, we've said it too many times, the Lord will lift you up. The Lord will lift you up. Yes! He lifts us up, hallelujah, so that we can be sent, so we can step out, we can walk in some of the victory, you know, come out of the grave and live out here in the sunshine and be part of it. He gives us the power to do that and to stay in the freedom. And then it says in Corinthians, but thanks be to God, this is 2 Corinthians 2:14, but thanks be to God who in Christ always, always leads us in triumphal procession and through us spreads the fragrance of the knowledge of him everywhere. Tell your neighbor, I'm just a sweet rose of the fragrance of Jesus all the time. Everywhere. Jesus, help us, eh? Some are better than others. Some of us are better. No. It's like, if there's one thing, you're saying, Lord, just help me to walk in that authority of being a testament, an ambassador, someone whose life shows forth Jesus. And that's our prayer all the time. You know, in our life group, we're talking about being filled with the Spirit, and it means continually be filled with the Spirit. You know, sometimes we get hooked up on, did they speak in tongues yet or not, and so on. Yes, speak in tongues. Thank God for that. But it's like, continue being filled so that you are this fragrance, so that you are this testament to the world of Jesus is alive. And that's when the being filled is fulfilled. We have fruit, we have life, we bring something of Christ into the circumstances, into the situation that we live in. We do. Because we entered the room, because we are there, Jesus is with us. And we stand in that authority and in his ability to do it. So I got 4 points, and I see how long I stay on each one. Just stay on this slide for a minute, but here's what I've learned in my little pitiful life is, I'll just read it. You won't experience his authority until you step out of the boat, until you push the boundaries, until you do something. Faith becomes real when it costs you something, when it costs your family or your finance or your reputation or your life or whoever you are. I've shared some of these before, but where I really sensed the authority of who Jesus is. I'm telling you, I got hundreds of the times, but and I shared when we crossed into Uganda, middle of a civil war, chaos all around us, hundreds of soldiers, guns sticking in Lori's face and my face, and something of the authority of Jesus rises up. And it's like, and I've said it before, we're not going to die like dogs. In the middle of the bush in Uganda with some soldiers with no shoes on, drunk and screaming in our faces, you know, if we're going to die here, we're going to die with as men and women of God. And I called Lori and said, close the door. And we took authority over 300 soldiers, and that's true. And God gave me the exact words and the right guy to go to and change the atmosphere in about 2 seconds. That's when you're like... But then I didn't realize we had 34 more check stops to get out of Uganda. And by the time we got to Kenya, we're like, we've used up just about all that authority that Jesus gave us. I could tell you about 20 stories just on that trip. And it's like, you know that the movies, like, what are we doing in Mexico? You know, the Three Amigos. Anyhow, if you're cultured, you have watched that movie. But what are we doing in Uganda? Going to a World Pentecostal Conference? I don't care about a World Pentecostal Conference. I just want to live. I'm only 24. I want to live over here. But when you've tasted some of that, Jesus is with you. Wow, you can't live any other way. You want, I don't ask, I'm not asking for those things, but to taste of his goodness. And another one is, where am I here? Oh, I like rebuking storms in Ngara, just on the border with Rwanda. Big tornado type things flying around, roofs are being ripped off. These tin shacks around us, and we got a whole crowd and a band, and we're outside doing this crusade, and I just prayed, Lord, let the clouds go that way and just miss us. And they did. And you can say whatever you want, but we stood there and didn't get a bit of rain as roofs tore off of tin shacks around us. And you just say, okay, I'm doing okay. Peter walked on the water. None of us have done that. I like that one. How about planting a church? This church. Yeah, I could tell you, like I was giving Russell not a hard time. It's amazing. For the last, how many do we figure out since 2008? At least. However many years. He's been the guy watching over the books and my giving. And he's kept me an account for my whole life. That's amazing. Really. He was working at 3CI, then he came here and he's part of that, and he's still keeping us honest. And I used to joke and say, Russell, keep me out of jail. That's all I need. Does our taxes, does the books, does the church accounting, does about 100 things. They helped us emigrate from financial, what do they call it? Emigrate? Financially? Yeah, financial immigration to get out of South Africa, and I'm here. No, I'm not in jail or nothing. How do I get onto that? But just, what was I saying? It was powerful. It was amazing. It was good. Planting a church. The people that came here with us, Carl, Russell, others, Jenny, I don't even remember. Just amazing people. I remember back in the rugs. On 17th Street. My sister Irene, her and her husband planted church in Edmonton years ago. And she heard we're coming to Canada. So she's like, oh, Lord, help those poor beggars. You don't just stick your head up and say, I'm going to be a leader, I'm going to do something, and not expect a devil or two to take you out. But I thank God we stand in his authority. How about sickness? How about a tax on your kids? How about a tax on your finances? How about, I don't know, what are the areas that you will have and will and need to experience the authority of God and standing on his word and standing on the truth? Amen. What I appreciate is that Well, I don't know if I appreciate this part. I'll get to the part I appreciate more, but these battles never stop. The challenges won't stop from here to eternity. So, next one. Let me go. We have his authority. We are sent to go. Hallelujah. That is powerful. Therefore, go. The mission is movement. You can't go by staying put. I like that one. His authority follows obedience, not comfort. All of heaven backs you up when you go. If you look in the Bible, every time God moved in the Old Testament was through weak and ordinary people. Lori spoke about that this morning in prayer meeting. What was the difference? God was with them. You know, what God calls us to, He also provides for. He makes a way. Many times, and this may sound very unspiritual, but we'd say, okay, Lord, when the money runs out, we're finished in Africa. The money never ever ran out. God provided. When he calls you into something, He speaks to you and He challenges you. And, you know, it's not always about going to Africa. We're called to go to the city. We're called to go to the people around us. We're called to go to the different generations, different races, different nations, right here, and to step out and to see God work. But we must go. It's in the going, not in the staying. It's in the going. It's in the moving. It's in saying, hey, Lord, I need your help here. That's kind of what I was talking about earlier. You won't see it until you get out of the boat, until you test, until you put some faith into action and take some steps and, you know, do something for the Lord. And whatever that is, make a commitment, make a decision. I'm going to be faithful. I'm going to serve Him. I'm going to do what I... So here's a... Well, I wished I had the painting, but a friend of ours, Olivier, what was her first name? Stella. She was an amazing painter, but she drew this picture of David and Goliath. And I've shared this story before, but, you know, David's this little guy with the stone, and Goliath is standing there, this big guy, big sword, big armor. But what Goliath doesn't know and doesn't see is that out of the clouds behind him are just these two great big giant feet from the clouds to the ground. And the robes of Jesus standing behind him. That's the authority. They just saw a little skinny David, but they didn't see the real authority behind him. And I shared this too, but you just may think you just see a little skinny old, tired old man up here. But look behind. Look at the authority we have in Jesus. And when we speak to sickness, and when we speak to sin, and when we speak the name of Jesus, and when we call on His name, heaven moves and shakes and changes circumstances and lives. So here's a couple of questions. What's holding you back from going? What are you doing now? That's important. That's God's called you to. You know, this one I could spend a lot of time on, and I didn't want to, but maybe I do. But if you feel called, and what I mean by that is there's a sense of you are sent. We are supposed to be going here because of His authority, because of who He is. He says, go. Then my challenge to you is, what are you doing right now to prepare for that being sent? What are you doing with your life? What are you doing in this house? You know, you say, I have a calling to serve God, then let's see it. It doesn't, you know, what I had written there is you don't become a missionary at 37,000 feet above the ocean flying somewhere. That doesn't turn you into an apostle. What are you doing now? What do you have in your hands now? What are you living through and in now that's preparing you for whatever God's called you to be? You want, you know, you're praying for a family, then be a family guy. Be what God's called you to be right here. Get involved. Step up. Be the man of God, the woman of God that you want to be. Not waiting to one day that you will become that. one day when I get, you know, we've used the stupid example, but the old people walking down the aisle with the walker to get married. And they said, what are you doing? What? Why? No, we waited till we could afford it. Yeah, trust me. It's way more fun to get married when you have no money. Now we can afford it. It's not as fun. I'll leave that to your imaginations. But what lies have you believed? Oh, I've prayed and nothing's happened. When I get set up, then I'll go out. That's a line I could talk about a lot. People used to tell us, you know, one day, when I get set up, I'm going to support you. That's when we are in missions and doing. And people say it the same way today in the church, just maybe not quite as direct. But it's like, I'm going to die before those people ever get set up. Honest. If we're waiting for that, just that right opportunity, just that right circumstance for me to be able to do something for Jesus, it'll probably never come. The enemy will arrange it so that you're tired, you're busy, your children, your life, your job, your whatever's going on. You'll never be ready. Never. Until you say, okay, devil, I'm going to serve the Lord. As for me and my house, we are going to serve the Lord. And what I'm telling you is good news, although I can see on some of your faces it's not coming across that happy good news. But when you step out for Jesus and you say, I'm going to serve him, and God, you know, I could name about 20 different areas, whether it's money or time or work or serving or going or doing. You just do it and see how the Lord comes behind. I love the story of David and Goliath, and we could preach that this morning. Here's a kid standing there with a stone, but he's like, you are an uncircumcised Philistine. I come in the name of the Lord. That's it. And he could have died. And I've used Jonathan's story with his armor bearer. They climb up the cliff, you remember? And he says, perhaps the Lord is with us. Perhaps. And he gets up there, and he doesn't just check around and say, well, there's a lot of guys up here. Maybe we should just wait till it's dark or something. He said, no, if the Lord's with us, perhaps. And he gets up there, and he kills 20 of them before they can do anything. And then it's too late to say, well, you know, I was just kidding. Let's just be reasonable. No, man, you're in or you're out. Yeah. And I wanted to put that little clip of, I know you guys don't watch movies, but that, no, you missed a great opportunity. You're in. No, I didn't want to be in. No, you're already in. You missed your chance. And it doesn't make sense if you don't know what I'm talking about, so don't worry. But it's like, you missed that chance to just get in and do what God's called you to do. And I don't think it's foolishness. There's a fine line sometimes between when you think, there's times when you just don't think and you don't care. You just know in your knower, God's called me to do this. I need to do this. I need to step up. I need to, whatever it is, I need to be that witness. I need to be that fragrance. I need to walk in that authority. I need to take charge over this whole, you know, I have it written here somewhere. One of my favorite stories for me, and I shared it as well, so sorry for keep telling stories. We're in a little village. The whole, literally the whole village is there. The Good News Band that I traveled with, they're playing. This whole village comes, and this stupid guy keeps driving a tractor through the crowd. What is that? After about the third time, people running this tractor, stupid thing going back and forth, I said, I pray that tractor goes down there and tips over. And didn't even look at it. And we look over, and this tractor's up on one wheel. It's like, yes. You stupid tractor. But that, you can't. So I'm trying to look around here. What authority do I need today in tractors? Because it can't just work in Ngara or some village. It has to be in my life, where I'm living my life today, where do I need to take some authority over the devil, over what he's saying to me, over my mind, over my finance, over my relationships, over my... And I could tell you my challenge, but you have yours. And we have to say, okay, God, we're going to walk in it, in your authority, and we're going to do what you've called us to do. So we are supposed to go. What is it that God's telling you to go into? What? And I just want to encourage PJ again, when you feel that resistance in worship, because it's there, you feel it, especially when you make a big statement about we're going to encounter Jesus. And it's like the devil says, okay, let's see. I dare you. I dare for me to say anything challenging about anyone's life. And the devil's like, try. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to challenge you this morning. Turn off your phones, Alma. See? I did it. I'm backing up over here now. That's my mother-in-law. Woo! When cell phones first came out, remember, I don't have mine on me, but we used to love it when you get a phone call in the middle of a meeting. Hello. Okay, yes, I'll take care of that. It's your kid calling about getting some wieners or something, but it looked really important. And the best was in church, because everybody's phones were going off and they'd stand up, and I don't want to mention any names. Okay, yeah, okay, I'll take care of that. We're not sure when that's going to happen. Jolene, you've come so far. It's so amazing. I remember Tim running to the back to chase you out the door. The only problem with the sound back there is that you hear it better up here than back there. Okay, no, I don't think so. That's okay. So how's your calls? Good, Selma? Good. I got to watch myself. She's not too impressed. Let's go. Number three. Sent to be a disciple, to make disciples. What can I say about that? Really fast. This is not a suggestion. It's our life's purpose. The church is the only institution that exists for non-members. If you weren't meant to make disciples, be a disciple, make a disciple, Jesus would have taken us straight to heaven. Make disciples across borders, across generations, across cultures, nations within nations. You want a purpose worth dying for? Get involved in people's salvation. Hallelujah. And every one of us can be part of that. And it's, Lori prayed it this morning in the prayer meeting because it's real and we talk about it. It's way easier to talk to you guys like this about Jesus, about the need for salvation, about giving your heart to the Lord and serving God for your whole life. But to go to my neighbor whose dog poops everything poop full and to have a conversation, that's hard. Right? The real people in the real world that we live in, to get to a point where we share Jesus as Lord and Savior. And that's what the baptism of the Holy Spirit that we're coming to in the story of Pentecost is to empower us to do, to go in that authority, to be sent out, and then to make disciples, to be able to speak and teach and baptize and actually make disciples of nations, to make a difference. That is what God's called us to do. And we can do it. And I'll use just one example and I'll move on. But We've shared it many times, and Brian and I have talked. Lots of us have talked. There's almost a social gospel that's out there these days that is way more important to feed the poor, take care of the lost, like the needy, and so on. And don't hear what I'm not saying, but I've said it many times. all the finance of this church couldn't meet the needs of this one city block we live in, we could use up all the finances of all this church and not have made a difference. We might have fed some people. We might have put some clothes on. It's not bad. I'm not saying we do it. We're not. But what can make a difference is when the gospel enters into Greenfield. When the gospel enters into your family and my family and the families around us, that changes a community. That changes a household. That changes a city block. That changes a city. And I could, again, it seems like my examples are all overseas, but we used to drive from a village to a village, and you could, I'm telling you, you can tell by the everything, this village is a Christian village. This village is a Muslim village. Simple. You would see the change that it made when the gospel entered in. So if you can't see that in a village, I'm sure you've seen it in a family. When the gospel comes into a home, into a family, it changes it. That's the power of the gospel. We are sent to make disciples. Yeah, there's times when we take a meal and do it. And there's times when we care, and there's times when we open up our homes, and there's times when we spend time talking and sharing and ministering. That's what making disciples is. But the hope is if they receive Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior of their life, and it changes them. And that's the hardest part to get to just share your faith and to talk to them. And some of you are very good at it, and some of you find it very easy just to share your faith. And I've had seasons when it's been easy, and there's seasons when it's like, I'm trying to avoid telling I'm a pastor. I'm a human. I'm a father. I'm a man. I live in Alberta. Try to share life to get to that point, because as soon as it comes out you're a pastor, you get all the different takes. Some have bad ideas. Some have good ideas. Some love them. Some hate them. And you try to just share the gospel. And I used to tell Brad, chiropractic Brad, Dr. Brad, he's not here today. Shame on him. No. He meets hundreds of people. I'll never meet those people. You meet people that I'll never meet. And we're to make disciples of them and to show them the way of Jesus by our life, but also by how we talk. Anyhow, I got too many examples under that. Number four, sent to or with his presence. I am with you always to the very end of the age. If his authority isn't enough to send us, then his presence should be enough to move us. You are never alone, even in the hardest places. And I shared my little example of our brake failure a few weeks back. It still amazes me, because on that hill, on whatever it's called, Ellerslie Road, coming to our corner on 41st, Ellerslie and 41st, you come down the hill, 141, thank you, sweetheart. Ellerslie Road and 141. We're just like this, just, we are one. It's a beautiful thing, yeah? Anyhow, coming down this hill, I've watched before and ever since, there's never been a time on that corner where there isn't people lined up waiting to turn or coming this way or going past. And if you know anything about that corner, there's big cement barriers and guardrails on both sides, and there's nowhere to go. And when we came over that hill, no brakes. And it's the only time since before and since then that I've seen where there was no cars coming behind me, and I was able to just swerve into the lane and go up and use the hill to stop. And it's like, and I got all five grandkids and so on, and it's like, it's in those moments when you're just like, Jesus is with me. He's with me. This is good. Because if those brakes did that at 120, which we were going on the Henday to get to that side, I don't know. You could make up a lot of stories. Just how his presence with us, and he says, I am with you to the ends of the age. Like, it's not some little pitiful story. He's with us. And I could tell you stories in Africa again, how many stories you want, where it's just like our car breaks down. We're in Zimbabwe, coming back from Zimbabwe. We're in Zambia. Coming back from Zambia, we're in Zimbabwe. Coming back to South Africa, our little Kombi breaks down, Volkswagen car, but they had done modifications, so it's a different engine and an automatic transmission. So you can't push it and start it. The start is finished. We're in the middle of, as far as I know, is nothing. And we get out, and we start pushing. I still remember those friends. And we're pushing, and we kind of came to this hill. And they were laughing, and the Swanepoels, if anyhow you don't know them, some of you do, they're overweight, and they couldn't run fast. And we started to get some momentum, and we're laughing, and they're trying to jump in the car, and we don't know what we're doing in the middle of Africa, and we get this car coasting down this hill, and it gets going. They finally drag her in, and we're laughing, but I don't know how far we went on down this silly, stupid hill, and then there's this little village there, and the car's slowing down, and we pull in, and we're in a garage. I didn't even know there was a town there. And there's a garage, and he fixed our starter, and he took it all out, and he did everything. And it's like when God's with you, he's with you. How do I explain it? Flying back from Zimbabwe, with my friend, the plane is being torn apart by terrible wind and dark, and we're trying to land, and he couldn't. He's going sideways, and he can't land, so he goes around again. I'll try one more time. If we don't get down this time, then we got to go to Gaborone in Botswana. That's the nearest place, because all the storms were where we were. And so he's coming down the last time. We're sideways. We get underneath. You can't see nothing. Get beneath the clouds. And we're going sideways. And we almost crash land. And we're sliding down this little runway. And we're all just like, if you're an atheist, you change in a crashing plane. Everybody's just thanking Jesus, and there's just sweat running, and it's like, it's cold, but we're sweating, and he pulls up to this little shack thing, and we go in, and there's a customs guy in there, and it's like, what? And then he says, the bus will be here in 2 minutes, and we're like, what bus? The bus that drove us around the other side of the hill, and we're in Sun City, the biggest casino in South Africa, and we went from death on the mission field to people gambling, and my mind couldn't take it. It's just like, I can't live like this anymore. I thought I was dying, and we're praising Jesus, and over here, now we're having a big buffet about a half a mile long, eating, and it's like, when the Lord's with you, he's with you. And you don't want to live any other way than with the presence of the Lord. Amen. Can I have the band come? Can we sing that beautiful song that became the song? And Pete, you can close this. His authority enables you. His command compels you. His mission gives you purpose. His presence sustains you. Hallelujah. Now, go. Go.